Earlier this year, our parishioner, Paul Kissel, got a diagnosis of serious cancer. It was so serious, it was one of those cases where you go like, well, can we do something? Is there a chance to be able to get a cure or else significantly more time in life or not and all? And eventually decided that yes, he was going to go through some treatments for it. And the treatments went on for a while, but near the end of October, it became clear to the doctor after a scan that not only were the treatments not reducing the cancer was on a rampage. And he let Paul and the family know that he had probably only had a few more days to live. He was there in the hospital, and the word went out. The word went out to that. Paul was accepting the fact that he was going to die and was ready to do it when the Lord wanted it to happen. The family came in and they stood up to the plate. They were ready to have those final conversations that takes a lot of strength to be able to have and to be able to speak of what was most important. And some of what was most important that was shared with the journey that Paul had taken. And some of the family members, well, one of the examples would be that the family became more racially diverse in the later generations. And Paul was able to share and thank some of those family members for the way in which their very presence and acceptance into the family challenged him in some lack of love that he didn't even know that he had. And helped him to be able to work through that, to be able to grow in love and to see the full blessing of their presence in the family life. And other ways, too, in which just the kind of the journey of growth and faith and love through those conversations was all able to be laid out in the great professions of love. Then for a couple of days, Paul wasn't able to be able to communicate very clearly. And he just died surrounded with love. And it was a textbook example of a happy death. I thought of that as we begin to celebrate our period of Advent, because honestly, one of the things that the church, we in our wisdom of long, long tradition do at the beginning of Advent is to be able to remind very strongly all of us that you have a terminal diagnosis. You are going to die. We're going to each die individually, plus this world will end at Jesus' second coming. We're gifted with this Advent season as a time for us to go further along in the process of growth and learning what real love is, what it asks, and receiving the grace of God to do it. And the fact that we know we are going to die, we can drop other things. I mean, amazingly enough, part of Paul's family dropped going to a University of Louisville football game this season. Can you imagine? To make being in that room and at that bedside a priority. You know, we're called to be able to stop and look and say, the daily is just the daily life, daily anxieties, as Paul says. You know, does that keep us from keeping our eyes off the prize? You know. It's the one thing that lasts. And so as we realize and accept the fact that we have terminal diagnosis, we look to say, what lasts? What's most important? And other things drop down the list, and love moves up and up and up. This is the grace to be able to do that, to be able to put that love as top priority during Advent, a great preparation for our individual death, for the second coming in glory. Not a bad preparation for Christmas either, you know. And one of the ways it does that is that we're called into, be countercultural, at this time of lots of activity, you know, we're called into a place of reflection to be able to see what does love really mean and where have I had my walls?
Where have I had my eyes blind? Where do I need more light to be able to see for myself or for my family or my community? Where we've not grown yet in love. And ask the Lord to reveal that to us and then give us the courage and humility to be able to address it. Because if your life's like anything at all like mine and like most of what's gone on in our community throughout the ages, every year there's something else. Every year there's another call to continue to grow. That's the task of Advent. Paul, in the second reading, puts it very well. He starts off saying to the Thessalonians, may the Lord make you increase in love. May the Lord make you abound in love. That's what we can do. For one another, those who are near, but also for all, especially the poor, for our enemies. Lots of opportunity there for growth to continue this adventure if we put love first, if we have the prayerfulness and reflection to be able to see what it really means in our concrete situation, and then if we receive and open to receive the power to be able to make the change and the growth to keep on going on that journey. That's why in our parish, our general parish life, everybody's got individual ways in which we can think of to be able to participate in this journey. And then we have group ways to be able to do it for ourselves. I was just looking over what's going on and what the possibilities are here in our parish life. Here are some ways. First, to be able to have that prayer and that reflection to be able to help make real for us where are the areas for growth for us. Just some things that are happening. Deacon Nick is offering 3 Monday nights of reflection upon the scriptures coming up for Christmas and Advent on Monday nights. Not a lot of this information's in the bulletin, huh? One of the great ways to grow in love, in which we always find out ways in which we have not accepted forgiveness or ways in which we are not free-flowing with mercy and forgiveness, you know. We celebrate that and we get the touch of power for more and more of that to be real in our lives through going to confession during Advent. So in addition to regular confession times, we celebrate the sacrament of reconciliation together as a parish family in a service this Thursday night at 7:00. Also next Sunday at 9:30 over in the gym, there'll be a penance service as well. That's a place for that reflection and get in touch with that power. Here at the parish of Mary Queen, especially, we have a great patroness and model for that growth in love and the courage and daring it takes to step out into it through Mary, the Virgin Mary. This Saturday, we celebrate a special feast of hers, the Immaculate Conception. It's the patroness of the United States, and so it's a holy day of obligation. And in celebrating the Immaculate Conception, we'll have masses on Friday afternoon at 4, Saturday at 8:15, but also an opportunity to gather together as a whole diocese at the cathedral at 12 noon for a special mass with the bishop for the Immaculate Conception that will also have elements of it of celebration of Our Lady of Guadalupe and have the dramatization of the story of Guadalupe and at the end of Mass and a little reception afterwards. That's a great opportunity as well. In our parish, starting tomorrow night, every night at 7:00 from tomorrow night until December the 12th, the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, there's a Guadalupe Novena and prayer together. Maybe that's something for Advent prayer and all in the home. Or to be able to come together and occasionally in touch base with one of those times with group prayer. An opportunity again for this reflection and growth and love. For our children and youth, one of the things the youth who attended formation this morning should have brought home with them a paper about the children and youth Christmas choir. Those who attend Mary Queen School, that should have come home on Friday. If you didn't get one, there's some extras on the bulletin table. To be able to gather together in rehearsal and prayer for these sacred songs. The rehearsals start this Friday. The information's there. And then, of course, you know, maybe attending daily mass or looking over the scripture readings. Every one of the readings for Advent is so rich. You can find them through any on the internet like crazy if you don't have your own prayer book for that. Whatever your personal or family prayer thing, being around with the prayer with the Advent wreath, whatever it may be, with an eye towards that opening up to make love the priority and the God who is love the priority, and then to find the challenges of what are the next steps in this journey of love. This gives birth, already is giving birth, into actions of love. Then we find ourselves connected with the poor that are around St. William's Parish in London through the Giving Tree. It's great to see so many of you bringing in gifts for the Giving Tree. You'll notice there's still lots of tags on the tree. If you're like me and are not a shopper, there's also the opportunity. There's envelopes there. You can just put money in as you go out and give us one of those envelopes, and they can take care of that. But there are still real needs that are still on the tree. If you haven't gotten to that yet, that would be an opportunity to do love. But not only just to write a check or to buy a present, but to keep these folks in prayer and ask for ways of connection, that further step. There are two rolls going on after Mass today. We heard about the Texas Roadhouse rolls at the table in the gathering area. But outside, the Knights of Columbus will have Tootsie rolls, distributing them in exchange for donations to support programs that improve the quality of life for people with intellectual disabilities. Another way to reach out across what some people see as real barriers. You may have noticed in the parking lot, the big van, the big trailer that's United on the side of it. Huh? We ask families, clean out your closets and donate gently used toys, books, and games to share with children in need in our community through the Faith and Community Christmas store. If you bring those, the trailer's open, put them in the trailer before December the 11th. That will get into the hands of kids that really, really need them for this Christmas. The second collection next Sunday is for the Retirement Fund for Religious. Many of us, of my age anywhere, were taught by religious who didn't get a lot of salary to be able to put money away, their orders for retirement, in order to be able to take care of especially these women who has served us so well in their retirement, an opportunity to love and share in that way. And like I said, there's so many other ways. I mean, in your offices, through to be able to send money to folks through tragedies, or Catholic Relief Services internationally, Catholic Charities, and locally to be able to address the different weather events and other tragedies that happens. There's always ways to be able to reach out and grow in that love. Make these and similar things a priority in your prayer and in your action, because you are going to die. And these are what leads us to what lasts beyond that. Soon we'll bless and light our Advent wreath. It'll take us 4 Sundays to light just 4 candles. A slow, reflective, prayerful process. Just like our life-giving growth in knowing what real love is and putting it into practice. Only with God's love will we get to our final goal, but we know that we have that love. And we give God praise and thanks for this opportunity of this Advent to open ourselves to grow in it.